So, venerable brothers, then my friends. So, actually, since Bhante Dhammajiva is out of the country, so we'll be having the English Dhamma discussion on Thursdays till Bhante returns. So, we were discussing Sanyutta Nikaya, then we need to discuss the Pajjota Sutta. So, the structure of the program is like this. So, we are taking a sutta from Sanyutta Nikaya, Sagatavagga, and that is actually the connected discourses of the Buddha. These are compiled based on various themes, and then I'll read the Pali stanza, and then Venerable Dhamma Alankara will read the maybe Sinhala translation. Venerable Dhamma also will read the English translation, and we'll all together have a discussion. And if there are questions, you are welcome to raise your hand and then ask the questions, and we'll have a good discussion. So Pajjota Sutta. ఏకమంతం తితాకోసా దేవత భగవతో సంతికే ఇమం గాథం అభాసి కతి లోకస్మిం పజ్జోతో ఏహి లోకోపకాసతి భగవంతం పుట్టు మాగమ్మ కథం జానేము తం మయం. దెన్ బుద్ధ ఆన్సర్స్, చత్తారో లోకే పజ్జోత పంచమెత్త న విజ్జతి దివా తపతి ఆదిచ్చో రత్తిం ఆభాతి చందిమ అథ అగ్గి దివా రత్తిం తత్త తత్త ప్రకాశతి సంబుద్ధో తపతం సెట్టో ఏసా ఆభా అనుత్తరాతి.
పజ్జోత సూత్రయ సవత్ నూర ఎకస్ ఎకత్ పసక సిటి ఏ దవితమే భాగ్యవతున్ వహన్సే సమీపేహి మే గాథావ కీయ. యమికిన్ లోవ బలానం ఎబదు యమికిన్ లోవ బబలానం వరహంగతులే ఎబదు වරහන් වහලා එලි ලොව කෙතෙක්ද භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ විචාරන්නට අවුත් සිටින අපි එය කෙසේ දනිමුද? භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ, ලොව එලි සතරකි. මෙහි පස්වෙන්නෙක් නැත. හිරු දවල් බබලයි, සඳු රෑ බබලයි, තවද ගින්න දිවාරෑ දෙක්කි ඒ ඒ තැන බබලයි. සර්වඥන් වහන්සේ බබලන්නවුන් අතරින් ශ්‍රේෂ්ඨය. මේ ආලෝකය නිරුත්තරයි.
අසයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ, this is the 26th verse, the 26th overall verse of the Sanghita Nikaya, translation by Bhikkhu Bodhi. The title is Sources of Light. How many sources of light are there in the world by means of which the world is illuminated? We have come to ask the Blessed One this: how are we to understand it? And the Buddha responds, there are four sources of light in the world. A fifth one is not found here. The sun shines by day, the moon glows at night, and fires flare up here and there, both by day and night. But the Buddha is the best of those that shine. He is the light unsurpassed.
Yeah, actually, to this very interesting connected sutta. Actually, this is called Abha Sutta. Abha Sutta. Available in the Anguttara Nikaya, Chatukka Nipata. That means numerical discourses of the Buddha, where the four factors are explained. So very similar. It's a very similar theme. Chatasso ima bhikkave abha. Abha. Katama chatasso. So what are the different categories of illuminations available in the world? Chandabha, Suryabha, Aggabha, Panyabha. Chandabha, the moonlight. And then the Suryabha, sunlight. Aggabha, that means the Aggi, the fire. Panyabha, wisdom. So, imako bhikkave chatasso abha, abha. Edadakkham bhikkave imasang chatassanang abhanang yadidam panyabhati. So, monks, these are the four categories of abha, the illumination. And among these, panyabha, the wisdom, the luminosity with the wisdom is the utmost, the greatest. So same thing actually Buddha highlights in the Pajjota Sutta also. So he's asking, actually the one deva, a deity, is asking what are the sources of illumination, right? So that's the question. So then he is answering, there are four categories, four types are available. There is no five. The sun is actually illuminating during the daytime, the moon during the night time, and then the Aggi, the fire, at different times. And then the Buddha is the most illuminated person. By what? Wisdom. That's the point. That's why it's well connected. So previous Abha Sutta talks about the four types of illumination available. So rather than telling here as the wisdom, so Buddha is the one modeling, or we can say being an example to the wisdom. So he has completely eradicated the, we can say, the defilements, the darkness of ignorance. Now the mind is well illuminated. So it's a very interesting verse actually. When we are coming to the wisdom part, now some Abha, this term Abha, the illumination, many areas which being discussed. Now let me take a fairly deep another verse available in the Digha Nikaya called Kevadda Sutta. Vinyanang anidassanang anantang sabbato pabhang. So they are also pabhang. Pabhang means illuminated. Vinyanang anidassanang. So the mind which is, or the consciousness which is unestablished. Anidassana. Unestablished and unmanifested. More than unestablished, we can say it as unmanifested, which doesn't have anything represented in the mind. So the mind is completely luminous, completely pure, completely the consciousness is completely pure. Vinyanang anidassanang anantang. And it is going far, very far. It is not limited, it's completely boundless, no boundary, and it's going towards the infinity. Anantang sabbato pabhang. Sabbato pabhang. So everywhere the illumination is available. So what is the illumination? Again, the wisdom. So very interesting how things can be connected. So the Buddha's teaching actually help us to penetrate the ignorance. So ultimately what is available is the wisdom. So it's a kind of a thing that we need to understand. Okay, currently our minds are fairly engrossed with darkness, certain amount of ignorance, and so we are tangled and our minds are not open, restricted, confined, constrained. So once the illumination is available, you know, that illumination of the wisdom is available, we are slowly opening up. Now there are a few areas actually I like to highlight. You know about the five aggregates? What are they? Panchakanda, yeah. What khandas? Rupakanda, the form aggregate. Vedanakanda, the feelings aggregate. Sanyakanda, the perceptions aggregate. Sankhara, the formations aggregate. Vijnana, the consciousness aggregate. Now, there's interesting statements available in the Mahavedala Sutta. So there Buddha mentioned, or rather actually Venerable Sariputta mentioned to a question asked by Venerable Kottita. So, Panya Bhavetabha Vinyanam Parinyaya. So you need to develop the wisdom, then only you can understand the function of the consciousness. So consciousness and wisdom are fairly, you know, go hand in hand like. So when we have ignorance of the consciousness appear like a magician, so it can trick us. It can delude us, it can trick us, it can show various illusions and we get trapped, we feel those are correct, those are right, those are the truth, but we being fooled. But if we have wisdom, then we can go through, then we can penetrate what's really going on. So the function of the consciousness is typically represented as a magician, kind of a myth, kind of a magician's task, a magic. Kind of a magic that mayupamancha vinyanam. Mayupamancha vinyanam means it's like a maya, it's like a complete magician's trick. So we assume that you are seeing a magic show and we are quite happy about seeing it, but the magician is making a lot of tricks. It is not, he is not really doing the things correctly or rightly. Rather, he know how to trick us. He know how to fool us. So we are happy, by the way. Being fooled, we are happy. And we pay for that. And we think, we believe, okay, that he prepared, a woman is converted to a man is converted to a woman. Maybe woman is cut into two pieces. immediately he is taking a rabbit from the pocket, a pigeon from the hat. So many things are there. So we are so happy to see it. So he know how to trick us. All the different techniques are there. All these gadgets and things are there. So we are completely blindfolded. But all those tricks we can know if we are going, you know, if one is very clever and go behind the screen and look at how he is doing all these tricks, then slowly he may be able to understand how this fellow is fooling us, tricking us. So then no more he has a kind of a magic. The person who know all the tricks, so he can't then enjoy it, isn't it? Because he know, okay, this guy is a real culprit, and he know how to trick us, he know how to delude us, cheat us. By the way, he's getting a lot of money also. So same thing is available with the vijnana, the consciousness. So consciousness also, there's a tricky area. In order to know that, we need wisdom. So wisdom is the main area that we need to develop so that we can penetrate or we can understand thoroughly, comprehensively about the function of the consciousness. Vijnanam, so what's that? Panya bhave thabba vijnanam parinyaya. You need to develop wisdom, then only you can understand the function of the consciousness. So more we develop wisdom, more will be the thorough understanding about the functions of the consciousness. So that's why, so these areas are very interesting areas, like how we being tricked by the consciousness because we don't have wisdom. For us, now whenever a certain mental image appears in our mind, immediately we grasp it. Ah, this is a beautiful flower, a beautiful woman, a handsome man. So likewise, so things are very much like drawn in the screen, but for us it's a reality. What is shown is actually maybe an image, but for us it is no more an image, but it is a truth, it is a reality. So we immediately attach to it, we immediately get deluded by that, and we start thinking, proliferating, ultimately get trapped. So we don't know how to penetrate it. So that in case of our mind has a lot of wisdom, what do you think? Is it a thinking mind or a kind of a inquiring mind? Which one? Inquiring mind. So our mind has to be an inquiring mind. It has to penetrate, it has to look at closely, it has to investigate, it has to carefully examine. So that is one thing, and you know, thinking, proliferating, imagining, daydreaming, fantasizing is a completely different thing. So more we practice vipassana, so we have to have a kind of penetrative wisdom, a kind of inquiring knowledge, inquiring habit, rather than unnecessary obsessively thinking habit. So typically we are into the unnecessary thinking, overthinking, obsession, proliferation. So as we practice vipassana, so the proliferation has to reduce, obsessive thinking has to reduce, overthinking has to reduce, mind has to become fairly calm, quiet, but still penetrative, inquiring, examining things with a, you know, sometimes we call as a yoniso manasikara. We are penetrating, we are going to the source, we are going to the roots, something like that. So that is very, very important, because otherwise what we are seeing is just a superficial view. We see only the outside, only the skin. We can't see through. We get trapped. We start like or dislike or hate or love or whatever, seeing only the surface, not knowing the reality, not knowing the depth. So their wisdom is what Buddha is represented here. So it is not the agni, it is not the fire, it is not the moon, it is not the sun, it is the Buddha who represents the wisdom. So he is shining every time. It's very interesting how the Buddha answer to that question. So anyway, any questions, any participations? Yeah.
Amina Sahas, right? Then the role of wisdom, then that mean vijnana is everything is centralized by then vijnana, those answer then and then through wisdom we can identify the function of consciousness, how this everything is centralized. Let's say I sight, and then our vinyana become a patittita vinyana.
Hmm.
Those kind of illusions we can identify through wisdom.
Hmm.
So can I know more details of the functions of wisdom and the function of this consciousness?
Yeah, so basically that's why the wisdom actually can categorize into various areas. So, say for example, panya, panyindriyam, panya, balang, dhamma viche, sambojjhangam, samadhitti, maggangam. So, kind of evolution is shown. So, typically we call it using samadhitti, the correct view, right view. And that is also twofold. The mundane type of right view and the supramundane type of right view. The mundane side of right view, Buddha talks about, okay, karma, and the typical conventional realities, okay, you need to be a good person, you have to do the wholesome activities, don't do any unwholesome activities. So he established a very wholesome, righteous kind of a person. So then he become a good person. He's no more harming himself or not harming the others, and he's a righteous person, he's a good person. But that is not the limit, or that is not the end. Rather, he talks about the supramundane type of samadhitti also. So there it's a kind of a spectrum of wisdom is explained. It is not just a one definition. Panya, panyindriyam, panya, balang, dhammaviche, sambojjhangam, samadhitti, maggangam. So it's a evolution of wisdom is there. Growing or progress of wisdom is there. Starting with maybe panya. Just a penetrative, a little inquiring kind of a mind. So that's why, say for example, you are practicing anapanasati. So while you practice anapanasati, you need to minimize the thinking. You know, the proliferation part, we need to minimize. We don't know yet why we are doing it sometimes, isn't it? So we are asked to don't think, but you pay attention to the breath. That's not a really good thing. Anapana, the breath is not a good thing to look at. I mean, it's a very boring object. So what's the purpose of looking at breath? Because I have to think about a girl. I mean, that's a nice thing, no? So why these people are asking to look at the breath rather than thinking about a girl, thinking about a man, a woman, politics and this and that? So rather than thinking about that, so why people are asked to look at the breath? Very difficult to understand. So later, anyway, as we continue the practice, now assume that we are capable of reducing thinking, minimizing the proliferation, and calm down the mind, fairly focus the mind. Now suppose you have a quiet mind now. Inner chatter, the inner talking, inner chatter has fairly reduced. Mind is fairly calm, silent, relaxed. And now we are asking to look at the breath closely and find out some certain characteristics, whether it is long, whether it is short, are you experiencing the beginning of the in-breath, middle of the in-breath, end of the in-breath. So these are some subtle aspects of breathing. So what do you think what we are growing through this exercise? Kind of a penetrative ability in the mind. You know that we have a very subtle object, so that is the tool what we are using. So that is the very much the field that for us to work. Now, in order for your mathematical knowledge to improve, you have to work some exercises, right? Just knowing the theory is not enough. Just knowing the formulas are not enough. So you are giving a lot of exercises, then you are going through them and you are, you know, using all your skills and trying to solve the example, try to solve the exercise. And internally, your abilities are growing through that exercise. So something similar. So we are using a subtle object like breath. Now we are trying to recognize the subtle characteristics available in the breath. What happens internally is we are developing the penetrative wisdom, what we call the yoniso manasikara. We can call it sampajanya. We are trying to clearly comprehend about the object. Say, what are the characteristics of the breath? Say, are we experiencing in-breath through the left nostril, or is it going through the right nostril? Is it coming out from the left nostril or both nostrils? So where is it touching? Is it warm or maybe cool? So all these are something that we are trying to examine. It is not thinking. So it's a completely different kind of a skill that we have to develop. So we are used to think. We are used to assume. But now we are trying to experience examine, directly investigate what we have in front. So with that we are starting. So with such a small way we are starting, but slowly as we continue, then probably breath become more, we are available with more detail, and maybe then probably we can recognize some subtle characteristics available in the body, different manifestations of the hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness. So those are the very basic kind of fundamental characteristics available in the physical world. Now typically what happened to us, so we have done a kind of objectification. We have given different names. Okay, this is a handkerchief, this is a phone, this is a mic, this is a stand. So everywhere we have introduced names. Ultimately, we get trapped in the names. Now we are going a little behind and see what are the very basic fundamental characteristics. So those fundamental characteristics we can directly experience. So you don't need to proliferate in order to know that. You don't need to use a language even to know that. Language is also a kind of superimposition, superimposed layer, what humans have introduced. Say we have something very fundamental, very basic characteristics underneath. On top of that, we have introduced a layer, kind of superimposed layer. We are working here. Every time we are working on this superimposed, superficial kind of a layer, ultimately we are trapped here. We forget about the basics, fundamentals. Now through vipassana, we can go to the fundamentals and directly touch it, directly say experience it. That's why we are going to the elements, what we call the elements. So if one is able to touch the elements, then slowly he can understand a different way, okay, how this physical world is manifesting, how the body is manifesting. So what are the constituent parts? So likewise, he's going deeper and deeper. So a kind of a wisdom is now growing. Assume now he is facing a family problem. Now, the exercise what he has done through his meditation is even useful during his family time, family issue. He can look at from a different angle. Someone else may be seeing only the superficially with some certain bias, certain selfish, interest. But the other person can look at from different angles because he has done that exercise. Not using the same problem, but he has used various other things, meditative exercises, but the skill is still available in the mind. You know that the developed skills are not being wasted. So all the exercises are quite useful to develop the different abilities in the mind. So the abilities are now available in the mind. With such a mind, he is now working with the other family matters even the social matters. So now he has all those skills on those areas, and he can look at from a different angle rather than the others, more than the others. Now he can come up with a brilliant idea even, because he penetrates. Now he is having a certain wisdom. That's a one level of wisdom. So as we progress, so what we call the panyindriya, the faculty of wisdom, typically explained as kind of a, say, he can see how all these different conditioned phenomena quickly comes up and then pass away. Quickly arise and simply pass away. So what we call as the arising and passing away knowledge. So that is the level of the panyindriya. So the faculty of wisdom. So all different phenomena, maybe physical phenomena, maybe mental phenomena. Mental phenomena means the feelings, bodily feelings, the mental feelings, then various perceptions, various thoughts, intentions, maybe other whatever the mental objects, even the consciousness. So all different conditioned phenomena, now he can see everything has the nature to come up, everything has the nature to appear and then disappear. So such a knowledge is fairly penetrative. Nibbedika panya, typically called as a nibbedika panya. So that is a kind of penetrative knowledge. He can see through. Rather than simply superficially get trapped in the outer appearance, now he can penetrate, he can see through how internally, fundamentally, things are quickly arising and passing away. So very sophisticated, very distinct kind of a wisdom. So that's something that again and again Buddha emphasized to at least reach that. At least reach that. At least you need to have this. Something like that. Penetrative wisdom about how all the conditioned phenomena are arising and passing away. And assume that he is continuously developing that. Now, that is what we may have to do a fair amount of time. So, don't expect all these things to happen overnight. So, it may take a fair amount of time. Say continuously you are using the certain objects, conditioned phenomena, and you are applying certain mindfulness onto it. Your mind is well focused to that phenomena and you are simply examining it. So, who is doing the arising and passing away? Who is doing? No one. I mean, it's a characteristic. It's a dhammata. It's a characteristic. It's the reality of the all conditioned phenomena. So we are not supposed to say impermanent as a mantra. Rather, the object is itself showing it. It has to show the reality. It is not that Buddha makes it impermanent or I make it impermanent. Rather, the object itself has to show its true nature, true characteristics. I am examining. I am penetratively looking at it. How this fellow is behaving. How this fellow is changing. So, by seeing, now I get the I get the knowledge. By seeing, direct knowledge is that. The patyakshanyana, pachakkanyana, pachakkanyana means. So, through seeing, so directly knowing. So, you have a very deep kind of a knowledge. And during that time, your mind has to be very quiet. It is not a proliferating mind. It's not an obsessed mind. Rather, very quiet, calm, relaxed, but still alert, with a lot of alertness is there. You are diligently looking at it, awakefully looking at it, mindfully looking at it, but the phenomena is constantly changing. You can see it. By seeing it, you are developing the wisdom, kind of a penetrative knowledge. So once it reaches the what we call the panya bala, the power of wisdom, so that is where. So more you see like this again and again, so you get the kind of the understanding. Okay, things are like this. What are the physical phenomena? Oh, they are also like this. Feelings are they also like this. Thoughts are that's also like this. So you are now getting confident. You are quite confident. Okay, everything is like this. But assume that time to time you get deluded. Sometimes you go again to proliferate a little bit of obsession, a little bit of overthinking. Again go back to the little fantasies. Are you panicked in that state? You are not. Why? You have confidence. Okay, it's getting the old habits are still operating in the mind. I don't need to worry. I know how to erase it quickly and come back to the reality. That kind of a confidence is there. So that's why in the panya bala, it is explained as avijjaya na kampatiti panya balang. During the ignorance, you are not being afraid. You are not being fearful because you are just fairly thorough. Now you can't step away. Previously, you might, but now it's very unlikely that you being swept away by the simple, typical worldly winds because you have seen it fairly a consistent way, a fair amount of time. Now, by seeing it, you have thorough wisdom, but still, mind here and there, a little bit of, slips are there, but you are not afraid. So that's the panya bala. So you have the power of wisdom. And then the dhammaviche sambojjhanga. Dhammaviche sambojjhanga, the difference is that now your mind is attuned towards nibbana. Previously, you might be even using the developed wisdom to various other tasks. True, it's available, you can do it. But now your main focus is attaining nibbana. Mainly the purification of the mind. Nibbana you can consider as complete purification of lust, hatred and delusion. Ragakya, dosakya, mohakya. Now you are more into that now. So you are recognizing what are the defilements still available. How I being deluded. How I being fooled again and again. What are the still operating defilements in the mind. So you are more concerned about purifying the mind. And calming down the mind. Not agitating the mind. So different way actually we can discuss. So and now say for example many suttas are there. I'll take one example. This Yavakalapi Sutta. So in the Yavakalapi Sutta Buddha say okay. Injita means that you get agitated again and again because of the lust, maybe the tanha, the craving. So once it is not there, your mind is calm, staying quiet, staying still. So Buddha advised, okay, keep the mind still. And sometimes your mind get vibrations, oscillations, again because of various other factors. So you keep the mind without such oscillations more stable, keep the mind more stable. And the mind get start proliferating. You know, when things, a little thing is there, you multiplying it. Overvalue it or overly thinking about it, proliferate about it, and that is a hindrance. And you keep things as it is, even though you see, don't proliferate. Even though you hear, don't proliferate. Even though you smell, taste, touch, or thoughts come, keep the mind quiet without going for proliferation. So keep the mind without proliferation. So many different ways now you are making the mind more healthy in a way. So we are having a healthy mind on such case. So Buddha is taking us to a very healthy state of mind. So kind of an evenness of the mind. You know, there are no oscillations in the mind, no agitations in the mind. So your mind is completely healthy. So likewise, you are going more into the enlightenment factors. Dhamma vichaya sambojjhanga is an enlightenment factor. So your mind not having many defilements now, even there are defilements coming again and again, but you can see them, you can penetrate them, and you are very much geared towards removing them. And when it comes to sammaditti, we can say you are well established in the proper view, correct view. You are thorough in that, and you know what to do. Very much like you become more confident, and one can say, okay, one has attained sotapanna something, and he is quite confident what needs to be done, what are the available defilements still, what are the take-off defilements, and he, without even someone else's help, he can go through, he can continue, he can progress, something like that. So kind of, that's why, it's a kind of a progressive path. We started with a very simple thing, but looking at certain characteristics of the breath, but you can see how the same approach taking us to a very far.
So in answer, does one know that if he has stepped into sammaditti, or like he has attained sotapanna?
Can actually sammaditti has many definitions. So I mean, the very basic type of sammaditti, you can refer, actually these details are available in the Majjhima Nikaya Sammaditti Sutta. So starting with kusalancha pajanati akusalancha pajanati, kusala moolancha pajanati akusala moolancha pajanati. That means you know what is wholesome, you know what is unwholesome, and you know the roots of the wholesome, and you know the roots of the unwholesome. So what is roots of the unwholesome? So you have sammaditti. What are the roots of unwholesome? You know this. You should know this. So those are the roots of akusala, akusala moola. And roots of kusala, wholesomeness, aloba adosa amoha, aloba adosa amoha. So when your mind is operating through loba dosa moha, whatever the bodily activities you do, the verbal activities you do, mental activities you do, become unwholesome. Very simple. I mean, roots are unwholesome, your activities are also unwholesome. Your talking also unwholesome, your thinking also unwholesome. So if the roots are wholesome, aloba dosa moha, then your actions are also wholesome. What you talk also wholesome, and what you think also wholesome. Because roots are wholesome. And typically for us to understand things, so Buddha sometimes defines what are the wholesome activities. Not killing, not stealing, not involved with sexual misconduct, not lying, not harsh speech, and not to gossip, not divisive speech, and not to have unrighteous kind of craving to someone else's property, abhijja, and domanasa is the kind of despair happening in the mind. So these are typically considered as the unwholesome. So killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, gossiping, harsh words, divisive words, wrong view, and then covetousness and the ill will. So these are the 10 is to understand categories explained as the unwholesome activities. The opposite are considered as the wholesome activities. So we should know that. So that's very much like the basic. So that is one level of samadhi. And then he went, when Sariputta actually, he went on to explain about the, what else are there? Can't remember. Actually, Parisamupada Anga, the, you know, the factors of this Parisamupada are there. Each and every factor explains. Say, for example, what is the cause of the birth? What is the cause of the birth? Becoming. Bhavapaccaya jati. Or we can simply ask Jara Marana. What's the cause of Jara Marana? What is the cause of Jara Marana? How? What is the cause of aging and death? I mean, you can say, okay, because he had a lot of liquor and all that. So that's why he passed away. He went with an accident or he committed suicide. So whatever the way, ultimately, even if he didn't drink, even if it doesn't make him commit suicide, even he has used a very sober life, still he will die, you know. Because he is born. He's born. So therefore, he's definite to die. So all of us are born now, so we are definitely will die. No excuse. So now we 3, 6, 7 deaths are here. Future deaths, 7 deaths are here. Unavoidable. Remember that. Because we all are born, so the death is very definite. So therefore, the birth is the cause for the death. And even the aging. So likewise, all different parisamupanna anga, dependent origination, those factors, if one has thorough understanding about them, the cause and the result, then that is also samadhi. And then the understanding about the Four Noble Truths, another level of samadhi. So likewise, different definitions are there for samadhi. So it's also an evolving quality. So you may start with the basic fundamental kind of samadhi, like what is good, what is wrong, and now you are not doing the wrong things, you only do the wholesome, correct things, and slowly you are developing. So that is samadhi is developing, your right understanding is developing. And suppose now you are able to, through your penetrative wisdom, that you are able to understand how conditioned phenomena are arising and passing away, how they are impermanent, that's also very fairly high samadhi. You know, it's a samadhi is growing. Your wisdom is growing. Yeah.
One more question regarding this one's previous answer. So, Avinasa, then why we are watching breath and why we are watching our feet, left, right, left side, and different sensations, and we identify all the characteristics of this process, Avinasa. Then ultimate goal is we have to penetrate all defilements. To develop the wisdom, that's why we are watching these things and develop the wisdom, and we should apply those things to penetrate our all defilements. That's the ultimate goal, something like
we can say like that. But the point is, we can't immediately confront the defilements.
Yeah.
So you can't immediately jump to Chitta Anupassana, Dhamma Anupassana, till you have developed certain amount of skills. So that's why Kaya Anupassana is fairly like you have foundation stone, how you step into this process, which is quite straightforward. Anyone can step into that and you can develop the necessary qualities. And it itself has a fairly vast spectrum. You can even become a sotapanna through Kaya Anupassana. So don't think that it's also a kind of a, say, kindergarten. It's also a fairly vast area. So true, because our delusion is highly appropriated to the body. Fair amount of delusion is encompassed, attributed to the body. We consider the body as me, myself. So through Kaya Anupassana, you are supposed to look at the body more deeply, thoroughly, penetratively, and fair amount of delusion attributed to the body being penetrated or removed, and you are not being trapped in the body anymore. So you don't consider body as me, myself. It is my soul or myself. So such kind of a wisdom can be developed through Kaya Anupassana, and that is also a defilement. Ignorance, no? Moha. So also a defilement. And assume that you are able to look at it properly, and then now a fair amount of wisdom is available. Probably now you may have the capacity to look at the mind, no harm. You can look at it, and more subtle way you can recognize defilements and abandon them in a more efficient way, effective way. That's also accepted. But very difficult for one to immediately get into that. So then,
this one is one more thing. And if we have properly developed the Kayanupassana, then we can identify small sensations and the body vibration. True body vibration, we can assume what is coming and going in the mind as well. So some small vibration, now this is the hurt rate, then this is the delusion, or this is lust. Likewise, we can identify through watching the body also.
That's a kind of a connection.
Correct.
Because all different kinds of bodily manifestations has certain link with the mental factors. Certain mental qualities or defilements have connection with the bodily manifestations. So when you feel angry, so that your body get a kind of a tightness, so maybe a little
warming,
something, and then the mind is also having the corresponding ill will, corresponding mental quality. So then either you can directly confront that, or you can look at this sensation, and if you are looking at the sensation, the mental quality also disappeared. Whatever the defilement also disappeared. So both are proper approaches, but later you, once you become confident, you can directly have the battle with the defilement.
It's kind of a bridge to Kayanupassana, to the Chittanupassana bridge kind of thing.
Exactly.
Good.
So I think fascinated by inquiring mind. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask, I think, similar questions. So breathing, and I think this is like a fast step, but breathing and my mind is slowly becoming more and more, breathing becoming more and more clear to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then so start noticing different characteristics of breathing, and you know, going through nostril and things like that. At that stage, do I ask questions about what my nose is feeling, etc., or do I just...
You can ask questions, not through the mouth.
is asking questions part of thinking mind, or is that...
No, that's the point. Now, say, for example, you are holding the mic. What do you feel?
Not much.
Not much? Okay. Are you feeling a weight?
Yes, a little bit.
And are you once you are holding it with a grip, are you feeling some hardness?
Yeah, now that you ask these questions,
That's the thing. So that's right. So now I'm just little guiding you.
Yeah.
But these things are known to you. But we ignore it when we get into the thinking level. So we, rather than stepping into the thinking level, we come back to ourselves and being aware of what is available right now. Being aware. So electric. You are introvert now. Rather than proliferate, obsessed, think, imagine. So you come to a non-imaginative, very realistic kind of a direct experience. So for you to know that there's a little bit of weight is available in this mic, you don't need to think. You can feel it. You can directly know it. So that's why the path is very much direct. So approach is fairly a direct approach.
And is it the same thing? So when my mind starts wandering off, and when I remind my, or like when I say thinking, and it should come back to my breathing, is that, what is that? Is that thinking, or is that?
Yeah, if there are thoughts available, so you are not being trapped in the thoughts, you return back to the breath. Because that's the best thing at the moment you can do. Because still the mind has a preference to go and think, so you have to little forcefully take it back and establish in the breathing. But later, once you have developed certain amount, probably you can see how the mind shifts to certain thinking or the sound or whatever. And while during there also you can have mindfulness. While the sound is there, still you can have mindfulness. And while there you can return back also. That is also within the mindfulness. Currently, you don't have that complete kind of an overview of the whole thing. So certain activities may happen without your knowing. Without your knowledge, mind has slipped and you were thinking of something else, and immediately you get, I have to be here. Unknowingly, I have shifted. Currently, maybe like this, but later, slowly, you may get into the level, you are with the breath. Maybe a sound happens. Now the mind which was observing the breath has shifted here. Now it is here. Now it is watching the sound maybe. And now still you can see the breath is also going on. Now you can let go of this and come back this. So the whole action, all transaction happen within your mindfulness space. So your mindfulness broadens in a way. Previously you have very limited, very narrow kind of a mindfulness. But as you are developing, your mindfulness growing. Not a narrow one, but it's a kind of overview, the whole picture, the big picture is available to you. Yeah. An interesting thing is I have seen many, you being Japanese, so I have seen many Japanese films even. So how that samurai or someone is there and he's with the, you know, very calm, quiet thing, even when someone else is just opening the door, coming close to the door, you know, the whole thing. A complete awareness. You know, the Zen and all these practices are really going to that. Very interesting. So you have to go to your roots. Not to these Western things, but you have to go to the roots, and the roots are there. So it's kind of a very, you know, very direct touch. So we as human beings, we have this intuitive knowledge. So we don't need to go to the thinking level. Rather, the kind of intuition is available within us. So now we are more into that. Through the meditation, we are more into that. It doesn't mean that we stop thinking. I mean, if necessary, you can think, you can ponder, you can evaluate. All these things are possible, but not in an ignorant way. Something like that. Very interesting area, actually. So we are going in the meditation. It's a very interesting human skill that we are trying to develop. So everybody have this.
Previously, I did some Vipassana meditation, and I was looking at objects and I was trying to understand what really, like, the definition.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I could understand was, like, I know that something is there in outside world, but inside me, internally, I have only words.
Uh-huh. Only words.
Words.
Mm-hmm.
So from words...
Through words only you can understand?
No, feelings also there. No, I mean, like, internally, even if I say, like, suppose I'm holding this mic now, so I could say, like, I feel soft or, like, hard.
Mm.
So if I'm really living in present moment, how can I say that this is soft, this is hard? That is also I have taken from my previous...
Like, knowledge.
Like, the past.
That is to express yourself.
Yes.
Now, to express it to me, you need words. But in order to know, you don't need words even. In order to communicate, it is true that you need words, sentences, how to properly express your experience to another person. You need words, language, all things are needed. But when you know it, you don't need even a word. You don't need even a label. But you know it still. So therefore, it is not a must to have a language. So therefore, sometimes there is this very, very common statement, very popular statement. Eternal Tao is not expressible or something like that. Not the eternal Tao. The Tao which can be expressed is not the eternal Tao. It's kind of a statement where when you are trying to explain, when you are trying to tell, talk, label, then you miss the point. Because we start proliferating. We start adding words, labels, etc. But when you know, just know. That's why, I mean, our mind will have to come to a level. So no thinking, no even labeling. Not even labeling. So you are now talking about the labels. Labels, words. For us to express our idea, what I have experienced, to write a, you know, report, there I need the vocabulary. But for you to know, you don't need even a vocabulary. Very interesting. That's why going to the very direct touch. So you are simply close your eyes. Mind is very quiet, very stable, not thinking. Kind of a penetrative wisdom. And you know it. Just it. You know it.
Now I am able to stay in this silent and even there are noises outside world. Now I am able to sit even if I am opening my eyes.
Right.
Still I am able to keep myself in a silent,
quiet mood. Good. That's pretty good.
And But the thing is, like, what I have understood is, like, I can either I can say, like, it's there or it's not there. Like, I could say, like, these are only words, so it's not there. So either I can say, like, from words, it's there.
From words. No, words is not the determining factor. Now, say, for example, for the existence of this cloth, do I have to attribute a word to that? It's there. I don't need to say, I mean, I don't need to have a word to that for its existence. Without our participation, without human interaction, these things can continue to exist.
Can I say I don't know what I see in outside world? Like, I really don't know what is...
Yeah, that's no problem. Because there are many things we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, actually, our experience is very, very limited experience.
And I don't have time like...
To look at the whole thing? Definitely not. So we are not supposed to even. Now, say, for example, say there's another at another place, someone being shooted, being killed. But I don't know. So, and not being known, I am not suffering also. But say for my brother being killed, my father being killed, my sister, whoever, my close one being killed, and I know that, then I suffer. So through my limited experience only, I am suffering. That's one theory actually we have to learn in the Malunkiputta Sutta. So Buddha say, only your experiential knowledge gives you suffering. So in a way, we have to work on only a very limited area. We don't need to think about the Mars and the Jupiter to overcome suffering. We can, right now I am sitting here. So see, if I know how not to being suffer while here, I am good and well. Nothing to worry. I don't need to worry about the Dhanasala or this. I'm quite happy here, being sitting here. So likewise, our scope is in a way limited. That's why, like the Buddha, so we don't need to explore the all possible solutions. You know, being in order to become the Buddha, how many paths he has to test, how many paths he has to verify. So he has tested so much of wrong paths. And he suffered a lot also. And later, once he get enlightened, he say, okay, monks, okay, these are the wrong paths. So these are another extreme of wrong path. Okay, don't take all those wrong paths. Okay, this is the direct path. Okay, you follow this. So that is his main task for us to show, okay, don't go ahead with unnecessary, wrong, destructive paths anymore. I have done that. I have done that enough. I have suffered that. So you have to take only this path. I am sure that if you take it, you are destined to go to the proper, say, attainment. So that's his task. So we being fortunate to have his teaching, so we don't need to experiment all possibilities. Now we have a given tested path, ancient path, and without any fear, we can travel in that path. So that's the advantage we have, being born in the human realm where the Buddha's teaching is available, the guidance is available. actually, for us, we don't know the value of this opportunity. That is, isn't it? We don't know the value of this opportunity. That's why the issue. Because we were wandering in the samsara, not knowing the proper path, going here and there, expecting satisfaction through the wife and through the children and all this nonsense. And still not having it. And we don't know who my children, who was there during my past lives, where I was during my past life, who are my children, who are my parents. Now everything gone. But today, say now you have a wife, now you have children, but you are worrying too much about it, and maybe tomorrow you have to go, next day at another place. Utter nonsense. Utter nonsense. What to do? I mean, we can't understand that. We only see this current experience, very narrow experience, and we are trying to define the whole thing. But if we look at the big picture of this whole samsaric journey, we are at a very small instance, actually. Very interesting. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, sorry, Bhante.
Yep. So we have a little question here, Kumara. One moment.
Yeah. Yes, Bhante.
Yeah.
Yes, you've gone into detail about different kinds of panya.
Mm-hmm.
I initially wanted to ask, what do we mean by wisdom?
Wisdom.
You have explained that extensively.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a question about, say, a yogi in his practice, he is able to see mental and physical phenomena arising, passing away,
mm-hmm.
not giving in to the fantasies and
right.
Obsessions. Mm-hmm. The mind has fairly come down, knowing mm-hmm. that whatever mm-hmm. exists will come to pass.
Good.
So it is easy for this yogi to see the craving side of things
mm-hmm.
and the hatred side of things.
Mm.
But what if the yogi is not able to determine whether things are worth craving or worth hating? What I'm trying to say is that sense objects that cause craving,
mm-hmm.
they don't make the mind agitated.
Mm-hmm.
And those that cause hatred, they also don't make the mind agitated.
Correct.
But the yogi is struggling to see there are some things that arise in the mind, they're just very bland. They don't have much quality. And so the yogi thinks that he is stagnating
mm-hmm.
because he's not able to keep penetrating whatever mm-hmm. is arising and passing.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that, you know, that knowledge of arising and passing away is one level. And once you have fairly establishing that knowledge, so the outcome of that is the letting go, the relinquishment. And then what you have is another type of knowledge, what we call the Nibbida Viraga. So you've been dispassionate towards everything, you have been disenchanted towards everything. Ultimately, you let go of everything. Now where are the mind being kept? Not in the conditioned phenomena. Because you can't, no point of keeping the mind in the conditioned phenomena, because you thoroughly understood what's their nature, the proper nature being understood, tested, verified. So there is no point of re-establish your mind back in the conditioned phenomena, because you have seen it. Now, the only option is to keep the mind in a fairly unconditioned level without an object. So whatever the objects are, useless. They don't have any code, any essence, or any presence or anything. So you let go of that, and ultimately the mind has to keep every time objectless as much as possible. So that becomes another level of wisdom, actually. You can't simply keep like that without wisdom. So now this is a kind of a mind which is enriched with wisdom. So mind has fairly powered with wisdom, enriched with wisdom. As a result of that, your mind being uplifted to another level, now you are not very much dealing with the phenomena, but without phenomena, the mind can still know, but nothing to know. There's no object to know, by the way. At the moment, there is no object to know. But the problem is still the underneath tendencies are still available. So that is where we have to be careful. Even though currently I don't have lust, there is still a possibility available, the potential is still available to have lust maybe in the evening. Who knows? So if there are circumstances available, the mind might get lustful. Similarly, mind might get angry if the circumstances are happier. Currently, there are no circumstances, no proper causes for that to arise. So that's the issue. Therefore, just mere purification of the mind temporarily is not giving us the satisfactory answer. So we have to continuously keep on practicing, so that even when the circumstances are available, causes are available for anger to arise, even that environment, if the mind naturally does not get into anger, naturally, then we can say, okay, there is something. It is not that you effortfully hold in the mind. We can hold, no? To give an example, now say there is a child who really want to go and play with the children. But mother is there and she doesn't want the child to go. So mother is holding the child, but internally mind, the child wants to go. So the other kids are playing. And this fellow also wants to go there, but mother is holding. Don't go there. I'll kill you if you go there. So the child won't go there, but still the desire is still available, right? So our minds might be like that. So through the restraint, through the, the sealer, through the restraint, what we are doing still is something like that. So your mind still want to enjoy, eat at night or this and that and all these things are there, but you're holding it. You're not allowing it to do. desires are temporarily subsided. But assume that the children are still playing. Mother is also not there. Child also doesn't want to go there. A different kind of a child, no? I'm not asking a kind of a dumb child, a completely inactive child either. But assume that he is not at the moment interested of going there. Even without the influence coming from the parent, if he still staying without being agitated, when even the door is open. So that is the kind of a mind that we have to prepare or to develop. So even though all the possibilities are there, all the beautiful sights, sounds, smells, all things are available, still the mind is not going. Something like that. So that's why there's a beautiful verse. Words in the Nibbedika Sutta. It's also called Nibbedika Sutta. Yani Chitrani Loke. What's that? Yani Chitrani Loke. Tithandi. Give me a second. I'll read it exactly the same thing. Nibbedika Sutta. Anguttara Nikaya Chakkani Pada. So this is the verse.
Avasarayi Swaminna, sir. పంచమే భిక్కవే కామగుణ చక్కు విన్యయ్యో రూప ఇట్ట కంత మనాప పియరూప కామూప సన్హిత రజనీయ సోత విన్యయ్యో
సో దేర్ ఆర్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ సైట్స్ దేర్ ఆర్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ సౌండ్స్ స్మెల్స్ టేస్ట్ టెంజిబుల్ థాట్స్ ఐ వాంట్ ద వర్స్ సంకప్పరాగు
సంకప్ప రాఘు పురిసస్స కామో నేతే కామ యాణి నేతే కామ యాణి చిత్రాణి లోకే సంకప్ప రాఘో పురిసస్స కామో తిట్టంతి చిత్రాణి తతేవ లోకే అతిత్త ధీరా వినయంతి చందంతి
నతే కామాయాణి చిత్రాణి లోకే. So Buddha says, there are beautiful sights available, beautiful sounds, smells, tastes, tangibles available in the world. They are not the problem. They are not the issue. Sankapparago purisasa kamo. So internally, mentally, so the person have this proliferative quality in the mind, the agitating quality in the mind. So this conceptualization available in the mind. So that is the issue. Sankappa rago purisasa kama. You can imagine about things. Now you are not into any sensual activities. But you can still imagine about it. You can think about it. You still have thoughts about the sensuality. Right? So that is the issue. Sankappa rago purisasa kama. Tittanti chitrani tatheva loke. So the guy, what he do, the wise person do, he let all the beautiful things as it is. He doesn't have any issue with them. He's not hating them. He is not asking women to wear the full covered clothes. That's not the solution. Instead, atetta dhira vinayanti chandam. So the person who knows his own welfare, he cleanses his mind. He could purify his mind. He abandoned the craving. So therefore, there are beautiful things, but that is not the issue. Amidst all these attractive, beautiful, illusory, or we can say lustful objects available, still are you able to maintain a purified mind? That's the challenge. Let's do it then.
So one thing what I understand is this yogi should appreciate that there is no craving and there is no hatred or delusion. Mm. It's just the tendency of the mind to want to grasp things. But now even though it sees that everything conditioned just arises and pass away, it still wants to keep grasping.
Still wants to?
There's a tendency for it.
Tendency, yeah. That you need to recognize. That you need to recognize, and without being strengthening it, you need to slowly abandon it. You need to see how the craving is arising. So when a beautiful image is there, when a beautiful figure is there, whatever attractive is there, there's a tendency arising in the mind. A kind of a little agitation happening. Enthusiasm happens in the mind. You need to recognize it. You need to acknowledge it. You have to become humble. Yeah, still available. But you are not being fooled by that, by the way. You are not encouraging it. Previously, we may be doing it. That's why we have going after it. We are asking, we are talking and trying to buy and all these nonsense are there. That was how we encourage it. We further strengthened it. Now, we still see it available at the mind level, but we are not promoting it. Simply slow, keeping it aside. Jānanto bhikkave passato āsavānaṁ khayāṁ vadāmi. By knowing, by seeing, there is an opportunity for you to abandon the fetters. So, I mean, that's a kind of a tedious task. Because these are very much ingrained programs in a way. You know, deeply rooted programs, rooted in the mind. So we have to carefully recognize all these little programs and then debug it. So still buggy. Still the buggy program is available. Kumar, you have anything?
Yes, Bhante, there are two have raised their hands.
Yeah.
And there are two interview reports also, Bhante.
Okay.
The short reports, Bhante, that's not that big.
Okay, we'll give the chance to the hands first.
Yeah. And before that, Bhante, this Taoism, famous
statement.
Quote is that the Tao that can be told or spoken is not eternal. That's the eternal Tao.
Eternal Tao, yeah. So it's coming from Japan. Tao, Taoism. Taoism from Japan. China, I see.
China.
Okay. Okay, please go ahead.
Geshan. Yeah. Geshan, you can talk.
Okay. Thiruvan Saranai Bhante, it was a nice discussion and I thought of sharing a couple of points here because we were talking about or at least you all were talking about, I was listening about the one individual's experience and the knowledge. We as the humans, you know, our duty as children to go and learn much as possible in school and then to sort of get to a state where you can sort of find the right type of employment.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I came to US the very first time and I got this job and I was very bored with it, even though I was everything was provided. what I was listening to this discussion, that basically came into my mind. So I left that to challenge myself because I've been taught to challenge and went into that journey and I realized how much of a suffering from there onwards. Finally, to find the right type of employment, to find something. I think when I listened to this, there is a certain amount of knowledge as an individual one should possess so they be able to communicate well. Doesn't mean that you need to know everything, as Bhante also mentioned, you know, as you, the things what gives us the suffering is the things what we know. If we don't know, that doesn't bring us the suffering. But for we as humans try to sort of crave into things and to learn and to gain, that brings us the suffering. And that is something what I have sort of experienced as well. So I thought of sharing that. And but after getting... you know, I've been introduced to the philosophy with my brother's influence and my sister's as well. And then especially to Dhammajiva Swaminvansa's teaching. Been listening for many years now, or at least a couple of years now. And I'm sort of realizing, you know, what we have learned, we got to let go as well. I think it is the hardest thing now to let it go because as the individual who was holding the mic was sort of saying what he felt and then you brought to say, do you feel the hardness while holding? I feel when I walk all the time, when the wind hits on my face, whether it is cold, the warmth, I get that. And then I feel while I'm sitting, my body's sort of bear a weight on my buttocks. When I walk, I feel that my legs are sort of bearing the weight of this. So the hardness, softness, all that experience on that moment. So if we, that is that direct knowledge that you were talking about, I guess, and what we need to experience. And my question for you with that, do we just sort of experience all the time on certain external and internal forces, or just to sort of mere observant of those experiences at certain things, rather than just to sort of verbalize it in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Or verbalizing is the wrong word, I guess, in your mind to sort of think, as I said to you earlier, you know, like when you walk, you feel the weight or the hardness, or just to sort of be outside and then to sort of look within all those experiences as well. I thought of asking in that way and let you to share your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, knowing all these hardness, softness is one level of understanding. We don't need to say that is the only knowing that we need to have. So that's one level of understanding. So in order to understand the whole manifestation of the physical realm, so we can go ultimately to this kind of a very elementary characteristics. So these are the elements. That's why they are called the elements. Without the influence of a person, an agent, a soul, a mighty God, so the manifestations of the elements can happen. So you can directly touch that, or you can directly experience that. And while you are experiencing that, you can't say that I am experiencing either. So, but experience is there, but there is no such agent or person who is experiencing it. That's another level of understanding. So first you might understand, okay, they are not really the objects as such. Rather, they are mere manifestation of these elements. That's another one understanding. And similarly, there is no person who is experiencing it. But there may be, we can say, mental factors are there, physical objects are there. That is also going through a kind of an experience. But there is no experiencer. So different levels of understanding we are talking here. And again, not knowing things can happen without our observation, without our knowledge, things can happen. We still can be ignorant. Ignorance also can make us suffer, by the way. So therefore, we are not against the knowledge, but we can go for certain amount of knowledge. But once we have thoroughly understood, so fair amount of knowledge also has to be let go of, but that doesn't mean that we are forcefully abandoning it. So slowly, so as you are progressing in your practice, you are capable of slowly even keeping aside the Dhamma, keeping aside the whatever the knowledge also. So it will happen naturally. Don't think that I have to forcefully, there is another stage, I have to forcefully let go of the Dhamma also. It may happen naturally. You don't need to struggle for that.
Yes, understood. So thank you very much, Bhante. Yeah. I really appreciate your teaching. Thunruvan Sarnai.
Yeah, Thunruvan Sarnai.
Over to you, John.
Thank you, Kumara. This is John.
Ah, how are you?
And I wanted to just, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good, good.
I wanted to say hello. Wanted to say hello to all the Bhantes there, and I miss you. And I really enjoyed the teaching today. It's I enjoyed all the you know, interaction. I enjoyed your teaching, so thank you very much. One thing that I took away from it was just the keeping the inquiring mind going all the time, because otherwise we kind of get stuck in our preferences and our likes and dislikes and stop inquiring. So I really appreciated that, Bhante, that you are bringing that up with one of the yogis there. So I thank you for that.
Okay, and welcome.
I hope I hope Pindapada is nice today.
You still had the breakfast, waiting for the Pindapada.
Yes, I hope it is very nice. Okay,
okay
have a
okay.
nice day. Take care.
Okay, you too. Teruvan Sannai. So we have a question. Yeah, question from you. Yeah.
Avasarai Swami Vansa. Just to add on to Pante Osara's hypothetical yogi.
Mm.
So now this yogi is unestablished. Uh-huh. Calm, everything is nice for him. Easy, you know, he's not touching the conditioning phenomenon anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard this before from the Mahasi side of things, from all the way from Myanmar.
Uh-huh.
What they do is usually they kick the yogi out of the monasteries.
Kick the yogi out.
Yeah, they tell him, no, look, now you have to go out and experience all these defilements that might have underlying tendencies.
Mm.
And then go and contact them and then see where they all lie and then go
so
back.
I had to
and
kick you off there.
Yeah, kick, like prepare again and then.
Understood.
So is that one of the ways you have to stress test your system?
Not to stress that, but I feel that you have to, that's why rather than simply being secluded, now you have to interact. You have to go through certain activities, you have to interact with the other people. So then only the possibilities are there for you to again get agitated. Because when circumstances are not there, you simply bored and simply stayed in that state. It doesn't still guarantee that the defilements are completely uprooted. That's why. So as you said correctly, so the Mahasi tradition has a kind of a tendency. So once the yogi reached certain such kind of a understanding, so they asked to get involved with very different kinds of activities. So while doing those activities, still there is a possibility to agitate, to get into arguments, get into even quarrels and etc. etc. Still are possible because the ingredients are still available even though outer appearance appear like calm. That's why we can't guarantee, even though I'm talking, I'm not an arhant. Because now maybe no lust, no hatred, no delusion, but the potential is still available. That's why we have to be utterly humble to continue the path. So temporary purification does not guarantee the complete purification. So you have to slowly continue the path, seeing different possibilities, different opportunities. And as you said, going through certain, challenges, taking certain challenges. And then only we can say how the mind is reacting during such situation. Not right now, at such situation. Isn't it? So it's also a very interesting area for you to purify. So therefore, simply being in a very limited, secluded environment is not the only path.
And also, I think from my own personal experience, what I do is actually, I just be patient because sometimes these underlying tendencies will still pop up.
Correct.
Once in a while. You just have to be patient. The mind will take these mental objects.
Correct.
To jump to them.
Hmm.
Like the Chula Sunyata said and the Rahula Sunyata in Sutta Nipanta said, the mind will still tend to get hooked.
Hmm.
And you have to see what is remaining.
What
are the remainders that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes even if you can't, you know, you can't go out, like maybe Mante Osada can't go out there and experience everything. Now, because he's a monk and he has to certain duties, he has to live secluded. Mm.
But he has enough duties here. That's why most tedious task is assigned to him. So there are many opportunities for us to help him.
So we should
help him a lot.
We should try to
bug all the
him
big
more.
Troubles.
Yeah. So
you
I
know
think...
the, no, no. But as far as I can see, even though the Nisarnwane setup is small, there are many areas, different areas. So, say for example, he is handling the stores. So, every time monks are asking this and that and what is given also not good enough, why also they giving me this? I mean, don't you have a better product than this? So, all many things are there and they forcefully come inside and all get the whole thing and go out and also the simple look at it. So, many, many areas are there for him to have many defilements. Because this is not an easy task. So similarly, because many different characters are available here. Now say for example, like say in your family background, probably you may have a very small inner circle. But here in a monastery, you have either you like it or not, you have to accept it. You have to be with them. So there are many opportunities for us to see the defilements. Can't help. So if we are skillful, we may be able to look at them, how they are popping up, how the irritation happened at least. You know, irritation happen in the mind, the agitation happen in the mind when you are dealing with another difficult person, how the irritation happen, how you feel burdened. So if we are able to look at it, then still I can understand, oh, still the suffering is there. Suffering is there. Agitation is there. But if I'm an arahant, can't be, isn't it? So I might be able to look at all different people. I should be able to be with them without an irritation in myself, isn't it? If there is still irritation available in myself, that means something wrong in myself. He may be talking, he may be fooling me, trying to fool me, trick me, blame me. All these things are possible. He may be wrong. But why I get agitated? Represent certain amount of friction in myself. So that is the area that I need to further work out. Very hard, actually. Very hard. I mean, it's easy to say, but when you are practically going through such difficult experience, it's difficult to step back and do it immediately at that moment. I can tell like now, right now, because I am in a good position right now. We all are in a good position right now. So we can tell, we can talk about it. But when you really go through such experience, say someone is talking to you, now say Osadha. So now he is ready to help the others with your stores. Now someone is coming and accusing him. Osadha, yesterday you have given this antaravasaka, but you see, today itself is being torn. What an inferior material that you have given me. He can find fault with him and you purposely give it to me. You have given the best thing to him, but not to me. How dare you give it to me? Can come and accuse him. Now, so what happened to him then? So is he supposed to argue with him, attack him, or look at him? All these things are possible. I'm not saying that every time I have to look, bow down and accept all my faults. It's not also not the point. You can rightly stand. That's also accepted. But still without an agitation if possible, isn't it? How to properly communicate the message to the other person in an assertive way, isn't it? So likewise, so there are many areas we can develop through the interaction. And during the day, if we have gone through arguments and all such friction, there may be a little burden developed in our mind that you need to work out during the evening. Again, you go to the paryanka, you go back to the kuti and you stay in the meditation hall and you look at the suffering, look at the friction, the still available thinking, proliferation going on, hating, irritation available. You need to heal it. You have certain burden, you have taken certain remainders. Through the interaction, certain remainders are still there. But if there are no remainders, that's good then.
then you don't need to do anything anymore.
You can go to the next activity.
And would I be right to say that actually development of the wisdom at this level is kind of shaky, like Hati Sariputta, you know, you still can fall back in a sense. You have to hit a certain level of wisdom.
Exactly.
You would know. Would know when you hit this certain level of wisdom. I'm pretty sure you would know. And then you can say, okay, now I'm safe.
Correct.
Now I will not fall back anymore.
Fully agreed.
That is the area you need to hit.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's why, so our understanding has to be irreversible. Till that, we are in a shaky area. We can't give any assurance. I may be good with this rising and passing away knowledge and even teaching and all blah blah things, but still if I haven't reached that irreversible state, still I am a very vulnerable state. Still I am in the vulnerable state. Basically we are talking of the Magapala, Sotapanna at least. Till one becomes a Sotapanna, you can't assure anything. That's the issue. That's why you have to be quite sure, you have to continue the practice so that you are quite confident. Okay, now even things go wrong, I may not fall into the, you know, the complete zero level. I can withstand. So such confidence has to come from our own practice. Through our own practice. You know, you need to have confidence. Okay, my path is correct now. now I have understood, you know, I can continue the path without much someone else's support. I'm quite confident now. Still, if I'm looking at another teacher, okay, he might know better than me, and I know this, blah, blah, blah. There may be a book which I haven't go through it, and there are still some things there. You still have doubts. You haven't yet thorough in your subject. Isn't it? I mean, I am not telling that you should avoid any references or avoid any associates with the good people. It is not the point. But if you are not confident on yourself, so the point Buddha highlights is that that what you have said, Hathisariputta's case. So when someone has come to a good level, so Buddha says he himself can continue even someone else's association or support. But if in case someone else's support is there, he can quickly do it. Say otherwise he may take 7 lives or 6 lives or whatever. But if he get a good association, maybe within this life he can achieve the best thing. So that's why the interaction with other good people, good vibes are really encouraging and giving us the motivation. So within a short time you are able to continue it. But without it, still you can, but will take time. But you have to have the confidence. Something like that. That's why, I mean, we have to explore, we need to investigate, we need to research. But at one level, we need to have a kind of a confidence. Okay, everywhere, same thing. Now I am quite confident. Okay, the same thing I have to do. Now still some problems are there. Okay, these needs, things have to work out. So you are with your own reference. Will take time.
No, I'm very patient, but the greatest desire for me now is sotapanna. So,
that's another agitation.
Yeah, that's another agitation. Another back of my mind thing. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, so I think time is up. So we'll wind up here, Kumar. So we'll take the reports maybe another time. A short, okay, short okay. Reports, right? 1 minute.
Yeah, that's certain. It is 1 minute more or less. Sure.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Most respected Bhante, from today's Dhamma discussion, I also learn a lot and much merits for that. I wish to share my experience to get some advice, please. Sometimes I am experiencing open and spreading mind during my meditation time. Further, no normal life. I feel my thinking scope has limited a lot. And not interesting to have an inner chatter too. And really feel nothing to tell with others too. And sometimes behave like a child, though I am an elder person. Please advise Bhante. Thiruvan Sarnai.
Yeah, be a child. That's good. that's the interesting part. So you are going back to that innocence of the child. So you are being a good human being. Isn't it? By understanding, you are not being conceited. You are not supposed to look down the others and, you know, keep yourself in a superior level. That's also conceit. So everywhere you can see a defilement, you see. Even this understanding, even the vipassana knowledge, if in case makes you a person and makes you a superior and you consider others are all inferior, then you are trapped. Another defilement. Really tricky. So if you are really properly handling, so you are just an innocent human being and you can cope up with things and handle things and you can bear things and confident, still innocent, a kind of blend of very beautiful human qualities. So anyway, so just continue the path.
Yes, Bhante. Can I read the other one also?
Yeah.
We have time. Yeah. The following report is about sitting meditation I did. I was told at a previous Kamatan session to practice where my mind is going and mindfully observe its behavior. This was in regard to my report, which mentioned that I would free focus my attention on the primary focus each time I realized my mind was astray. So I focused on my mind like the instruction and attempted to mindfully focus on where it is going. I initially focused my mind on my breath and kept that as my primary focus. I realized that numerous times that I would lose its focus and realize that my mind has wandered elsewhere. in these times, the problem I encountered was that my mind would then not automatically go elsewhere. So I decided to focus on my breath again. This kept on happening. It feels like when I'm dreaming and I realize I am dreaming. And once I realize that, I wake up and in the dream. Is there something wrong with my meditation practice? Dear Bhante, I kindly request your knowledgeable guidance on this matter. That's all, Bhante.
Dreaming, can you read that part, Kumar? Dreaming?
Yeah, what he's saying is, it feels like when I'm dreaming and I realize I'm dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And once I realize that, I wake up and in the dream.
Mm-hmm. So he is giving it as a simile, as an example, right?
Yeah, looks like.
So as far as I understand, still the weakness of the mindfulness is there. So when the mind gets distracted, you are unable to trace it. So you get quickly shifted, go out of the track without your knowledge, without your trace. It is all okay. It is okay. So as you continue the practice, you may be coming to a level where even the shifting may be known to you. Distraction may be known to you, but at the moment you are not to that level. So don't worry. So it's a matter of continuation of your practice, and slowly, slowly you may gain this skill. At that moment, you assume that you are watching the breath, you are still mindful, still maybe a sound happened and you can hear it, your mind has shifted to that. That also known to you. And while being in the sound, still you are known to you, can return back, that also known to you. So within this knowing circle, everything happens. Knowing space, everything happens. Mindful space, everything can happen. So it will happen through the practice. So your mindfulness will broaden. And it can encompass the whole thing. All different activities can be known by mindfulness once it is broadened. So it's a matter of continuing the practice. By the way, you have explained now you have seen the mistake. That's the best thing. And you can see the flaw in certain areas. So that is something you need to improve. That's something you have known, something you have noticed. That's an improvement as well.
Yes,
okay, then.
That's all from this side, Bhante.
Okay, so we'll wind up the session and thanks for active participation. And I invite Venerable Dhammo Sadha to conduct the sharing of merits.
A wonderful opportunity we've had to come together and discuss the Dhamma. And so from the merits we have accrued, may our relatives and all devas rejoice. May all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the Bodhisattva for a long time. And may the fruits of Dhamma that we have received grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. Now let us chant the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.